1010 WOLB. We're looking at a high of 85, low of 70. Showers expected. Presently, it's about 68 degrees. You know what? That's every day above ground. It's a good day. God is truly awesome that he is. This is a special edition of the Larry Young Morning Show, where we have our leading spokespersons for our civil rights movement of the city and the greater Baltimore community right here with us this morning to talk about the agenda. We were just wrapping up with a statement by the president of Martin Miller Bar Association, J. Wendell Gordon. Then we'll move to the other two civil rights groups. J. Wendell?
Right. I was just saying that last week or a couple of weeks ago, Julius Henson was sentenced for 60 days for a crime that carries the same sentence as driving on a suspended license. That is 1 year or $1,000 fine. And for him to have to go to jail, no matter what he had said to the media before his sentencing, that sentence spoke larger volumes about the institutional, as I see it, in my opinion, racism of the justice system than anything else. And with that type of sentence, it was, to me, it was unfathomable. However, you know, as I said before, the judge is a just man. And I know in his mind he did the right thing, but the message that was sent was a horrible one.
Thank you very much. Let's go now to Tessa Hill Aston.
Thank you.
NAACP.
Good morning, everybody. I am so happy to be here, and this has been a wonderful series that you've done, bringing us all in. I enjoyed last week being here and talking about the NAACP and the things that we're doing as a result of being here last week. I got some donations in the mail, and it was specified to go to youth programs, so that was a good thing. And thank you all who sent in some donations. NAACP, as everyone knows, has been around. We're sort of the godfather and grandfather of the civil rights movement that started in 1909 in the whole United States. And in Baltimore, Maryland, it started in 1912, which we're celebrating this year, our 100th birthday. I am very honored to come as the first female after Enola McMillan 33 years ago, and after the great leadership of Rodney Orange and G.I. Johnson and wonderful Doc Cheatham, who I sat with him as his vice president. So I have a lot of big shoes to fill, and I'm doing a lot of good things at the branch with the executive committee, and I think the civil rights is definitely needed, and all the things that everyone else has already said, these other fine gentlemen, the Baltimore branch supports all the issues, and I think one of the things that we need to do most is that all the leaders and other people who are sitting here in the room from the fire department, we all need to come together and have meetings on a regular basis, and I think that's what Larry Young is trying to do, because we all need each other for forces to come together when we have to fight issues and come together. A lot of comments have been made about the issues that J. Wendell just talked about Julius Henson, and when you see things like that a white male could have more charges and not go to jail, and then a black man, and regardless of who he is, he was a black man, the name doesn't matter, but the fact is he should have not gotten any sentence if the white man who was sentenced and had more charges than him. So all these issues, and Robbie Clay is dear to my heart. I was personal friends. So these things are definitely something that when one person knows about it and brings it to the table, we all should come to the table and support each other. That's the only way we're going to get it done, is having joint forces and show strength from the black community in Baltimore City, and we do it together as leaders and as entities that care about our community in total.
Thank you so very much. Mr. Henderson.
Dr. Young, it's a pleasure to be here this morning and to follow, be at the table with all these great individuals, and certainly with Tess Hill. NAACP was my first love and still is one of my loves. They may have been the oldest, but we started in 1910, 1 year behind them. The Urban League movement has always been a movement about making sure that the great advocacy work that's done by other organizations, that we have some actions and plans put in place to make sure that we take advantage of all that advocacy work. Someone has to be sitting at the table in the room, making sure that our voices are heard and making sure that those things are taking place. In Baltimore City, there's a lot going on. Baltimore, surprisingly, is a city of the haves and the have-nots. No question about it, Larry, as you said earlier. Baltimore is a city where there's a tremendous amount of opportunities, but a lot of those opportunities are bypassing the African African American community, and that's the constituency that we serve. And when I'm sitting in a room at any meeting, whether it be the Central Maryland Transit Alliance or whether it be the Baltimore Regional Education Consortium, talking about the issues that face our children and face our business community, I'm always talking about what's in it for the African American community. I spend an enormous amount of time in Annapolis at every session down there lobbying and testifying on the issues for minorities. Business participation, making sure that there's ample inclusion. We played a major role on the east side before they kicked us out because we were raising too much hell about making sure that minorities were being included in those programs over there. We were there for 5 years with that program, and then they decided they wanted to bring it in-house and manage it themselves. And you see where they are now. Since they are managing it themselves, they have been under attack because of their low participation of those citizens in that community being employed and African-American business participation. So we have always played a role in that. But the major civil rights issue, Larry, that's facing us today, you would say is needed. In 2012, yes. The major civil rights issue facing us today is one that has been facing us from the beginning, and that's education. Education is the key to economic success. Without a basic education, you can't be successful at doing anything that you want to do in this country. You can't provide for your family. So we have to go back to the grassroots of making sure that education is strong for our children. You pick up the paper this morning, you see that only two schools qualified in terms of their curriculum being acceptable by the standards in the state. Only two schools in Baltimore City. That's sad. We have a situation where our education is not only outrageous, but it's at a point where if we as a community collectively don't come together and ensure that we have strong participation by parents or caregivers. A lot of people say, well, they want to blame it on the parents. It's not the parents. We have to make sure that we as a collectively, as a community, embraces these children and making sure that the educational system is in place to address the needs of the emerging industry that we have in our city. Baltimore is becoming a knowledge-based industry. We can't turn it back to the old Rust Belt industries. It's a knowledge-based industry, and we have to have our citizens prepared so they can participate equitably and not just at the lower level, but at all levels of employment within that system. So, Larry, education is the key. Certainly in 2012, the civil rights movement need to be stronger, no question about it. We need to be more cohesive, and we need to really sit down and work more closely together. But all of us are playing a valuable role in our community, and every institution is important. So if you have a dollar, split it up between the six of us at this table and give 10, 10, 10, 10. But all of them are important. You can't be successful without
just one. Across the clock, let me get started here. I want to put two concerns that I have. You can respond. Just also be mindful of the clock in front of us here. Our next break is at 8:30. Two things happen that I want to ask you to respond to. One, in the city of Baltimore, in the last three elections, I've seen a drop of voter citizen participation. Our highest from 2008 to now, we're at the point where we're faced with a 23% turnout, 18% turnout, and then we had one of our national television shows, Jay Leno, say there were more folks at the MT Stadium for a football game than voted for the last citywide election. We had an 11% turnout. My concern is the politicians in this town have gone asleep and are comfortable with the voter turnout being what it is, as long as they hold to their base. Why is it that other organizations, particularly those who have had a record of concern for voter registration, will sit back and not do more to jump out and say, let's make sure come 2012, 2013, from henceforth, correct that? That's a serious problem in our town. The politicians have gone to sleep. In some cases, some of our churches have gone to sleep. But we cannot have it stated that those of you who sit at this table are going to sleep on that issue. Who wants to respond first?
I will. This is Howard Henderson from the Greater Baltimore Urban League. I know from the Urban League standpoint, we have our Occupy the Vote campaign that we're kicking off with our young professional organization, and they will be providing a lot of not only the registration activities and working with your group, Larry, as I told you at the last meeting, they will be working with your group, but we're also be having a strong Get Out the Vote campaign. That's the key to it. We got to get folks out to vote. And in the past elections, we have worked with the black funeral directors in the state of Maryland, and we're probably going to do that limo to the poll again that we have done in the past, so that we can get people out to the polls, and they have a number to call at the Urban League where they can call if they need a ride. We will be providing rides, working with the state black funeral directors across the state.
I can say with regard to my organization, we have not done enough, and I can take partial responsibility for that since I've been the president since October with regard to voter registration. We are a legal organization that promotes the law and our people, but our lawyers. However, there's nothing more important to the law than voting. So in that respect, I expect to do more with this organization, to get together with these other organizations around this table to participate in whatever it is that they're doing so that we can do more. So
8:30 here on 1010 WOLB.